Who are you empowering as a leader? You know, it's critical to not only lead your team, but equip and empower your team members to reach their potential. Well, what does it take as a leader to empower others? We'll discuss this and more today, right here, right now, on the Five Gifts Podcast. You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast.
Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. We're thrilled that you've joined us today. While you may see us on the podcast episode today, we are actually in the air somewhere between London, England and Nairobi, Kenya, on our way to conduct some pastors' conferences and training. And so we are on our way. We are en route, and we look forward to bringing you some live updates possibly on the next episode. So, but we're glad that you're here with us today. Bruce, how are you doing?
Doing great, Charles, and excited to be with our podcast listeners today. We are traveling. It's a long trip, but this is exciting for us to be able to do our missional model conferences. You know, we've expanded from the Dominican Republic. Still got a lot going on there, but headed to Kenya and right in the middle of the holiday season. What a great time. What a great time to leave your family behind and go do missions. I say that, you know, tongue in cheek, but I miss my family today, obviously. I know, Charles, you do too, but at the same time, we're excited to go through an open door we believe the Lord has given us in Nairobi, and who knows where that might lead. So pray for us, if you would. If you have a moment, remember us in prayer as we're ministering this week. We would greatly appreciate that. You know, Charles, we've got a brand new website that brings together a lot of what we've been up to for the last couple of years. It's fivegifts.org, and we'll talk more about that maybe later. But we want you to know that there are ways that you can not only go to that as a hub of information for what we want to offer leaders and church congregations, but you're going to find opportunities on there, both for maybe your local church or maybe a missions team within your church, to be part of what the Lord is doing in the nations. And, you know, it's something that we see as becoming much larger than us, and we're going to need teams. And so we want to invite those like-minded people that want to see the five gifts of Jesus in the local church throughout the nations. And so I'm looking forward to talking more about that. But today we are talking about empowering others. And John Maxwell defines empowerment as giving your influence to others for the purpose of personal and organizational growth. It really is how we share ourselves, both our influence, our position, our power, and our opportunities with others, by investing in their lives so they can reach their potential. Charles, tell us, though, what does it mean to empower others?
Well, it is an important it's an important task, for lack of a better word, in leadership. Our leadership is multiplied as we empower others. Kind of a good visual to begin with is that people under the influence of an empowering person or an empowering leader are like paper in the hands of a talented artist. So, you know, a talented artist can take a random, ordinary piece of paper that really doesn't hold a lot of value to the common person. Certainly, in my hands, a piece of paper is not valuable. But an artist, a talented artist, can take art tools, a pencil, pen, and begin to sketch a drawing, and in the hands of a talented artist, can turn an ordinary, nondescript, kind of just a piece of paper into a work of art that now all of a sudden, because because the hand of the talented artist has touched the paper, turned something that's just ordinary and inconsequential into a valuable work or piece of art by releasing their talents and by releasing their investment into that paper. The artist is able to transform the piece of paper into a treasure, into something that we might just toss into a trash can. Now becomes something that's treasured by the masses. And so again, people under the influence of an empowering person are like paper in the hands of a talented artist. We're transformed. I know in my life, I'm thinking about a few relationships that I've been transformed by, who we would call kind of the talented, empowering leaders in my life, empowering people. And I can see where now others come to me and they say, "Hey, Charles, thank you for the value that you've added into my life." And certainly I'm grateful and appreciative of those sentiments. But I always have to back up and say, but it's because someone else, it's because an empowering person brought transformation into my life that I'm able now to add value into yours. So being able to empower others, really it's a process of transformation. I don't mean for that word to be cliche, because that's a powerful word when we think about transformation. But that's what happens when we empower others. We're helping others become treasures that now extend value and influence into others. So that really leads into the next kind of point here. When you and I, when we empower people, we're not only influencing them, we're influencing all the people that they influence. It's the power of empowerment. It has a greater reach. It has a wider influence than we could really begin to comprehend. When we empower others, we're not just touching their life, but we're reaching into their networks. We're reaching into their circles of influence, and now we're touching their lives as well. When you and I, when we become an empowerer, we work with and through people. That's an important note to make mention of. Empowerers, not only do we work with people, but we work through people. Again, to extend our influence, to multiply our influence, to empower is to not just work with, but it's to work through those whom we are empowering. The act of empowering people changes lives, and it becomes a win-win situation for you and for the people you are empowering. Just think, we don't have time to spend a lot of time on that idea this morning, but just think for a moment of how empowering someone else begins to not only touch their life, but it touches you and touches me as the empowerer, how that brings life and it brings health into our lives. And now begin to think about the person that you are empowering, how that brings life and health into them. Now begin to think about the organization, the team, the business, the church that you're leading. Begin to think about how the act of empowerment and the compounding effect of empowerment begins to bring life and energy and opportunity into that business or team or organization that you're leading. The act of empowering is a dynamic force that, again, it creates a win-win situation for everyone who is involved. Finally, you have not lost anything by empowering others. In fact, you have multiplied your influence. I'm not going to say that there's not a cost to empowering others. There's certainly a cost, but we haven't lost anything by empowering others. Rather, we have multiplied our influence. I don't know about anyone else that's listening, Bruce, but I would rather multiply than I would add. Addition's great, but when we get into the power, the idea of compounded interest or the whole idea of multiplication, that's what empowerment brings for a leader. Now, empowerment moves a leader from addition into the realm of multiplication. And so we haven't lost anything by empowering others, but rather we multiply our influence. Just a few questions to kind of reflect on as we're talking about empowering leadership. Who is it, leader, that you should be empowering, but you've hesitated for whatever reason, for one reason or another? There's an individual, there's a couple people on the team or in the church, in the leadership pipeline, if you will. Who is it that you should be empowering, but you've just hesitated, you've paused for whatever reason? Maybe begin to write those names down. Take note of those individuals that you realize, all right, look, to multiply the influence, to multiply our leadership and our effectiveness, I'm going to need to empower some folks. Begin to identify who is it that you should be empowering. Now, here's another question to think about. What's the worst thing that could happen if you did empower them? I mean, if you spent the time, if you made the investment to empower these individuals, what's the worst thing that could happen if you actually empower them? So some follow-up questions to that would be this. Is that something you can live with? If you empower them and the world turned upside down, I mean, the bottom fell out, the worst-case scenario came to fruition, is that something you can live with? By the act of you empowering them, is that something that you can live with if the worst case scenario is lived out? And then here's the question. So what's holding you back now? Even if your worst case scenario comes true, what's holding you back now from empowering these leaders or these volunteers within your organization? Well, Bruce, what do we need personally to begin empowering others?
Well, I think first, Charles, this is not in the list, but certainly just reflecting on some things you've just shared, I think, are you willing to invest in people? What's necessary? There is a return on investment. There is a cost involved, but there's always going to be a return on investment when you artfully work at empowering other people. I can think of a lot of task-driven people that I know, and maybe that might include yours truly from time to time, but where the idea of taking another meeting with someone feels like a drain. It can feel like probably a moment of time that I'm not all that invested in, because it may feel like a waste of time. I hate to use that expression. I don't think any time with a person is a waste of time. In the same breath, I recognize that sometimes that, you know, taking those steps to work with people is taxing. It takes a lot, but you don't lose anything by empowering other people. You multiply your influence when you do that. And I think that's a great point. And I think as a leader, you need to come to terms with that before you recognize your capability of empowering people, because there's a tremendous time element. You've heard the 80-20 principle, and you think of that 80% of the work gets done by 20% of the people. Well, if you take that into your approach to being a person that empowers others, then what you begin to see is you probably need to spend your 80% of your time with 20% of the people. You know, 80% of your time management is going to be invested in working with other people, and people that are producers, people that are that have a growth mindset, people that have potential and want to do the work. And so I think that's probably the qualification in my list that I didn't include, and I wanted to make sure we revisited that. But if I were to think of other qualifications of an empower, I think it sounds surface, but I think it's absolutely true. You need position. You've got to have a level of relationship with a person. I don't mean pure relationship. I'm saying that you need to have a title. You need to have a defined role in their mind and in the new organization. I think it's impossible to empower the people that you don't lead. So at the minimum, people need to see you as a leader. People need to see you as a person of influence. And you know, usually that's not going to be merely invested in a nameplate as much as it is an identity that people recognize in you. So you need position. People need to know that you're a leader. Second qualification of an empower is it's very closely related, but you need relationship. You need an approach with people that includes trust and includes a sense of respect. Your real relationships are forged. They're not formed. They're not scheduled in your appointment book. They are formed, and it takes time and energy to build that relationship. I just said respect, but I think you need respect. I think relationships are going to cause people to want to be with you or use up, you know, space on your calendar. But respect is what causes them to want to be empowered by you. And we've talked about the attractiveness that you have as a leader, and you want to leverage that in mentoring others and empowering other people. You have an attractional quality about your life as a leader, and just learning to invest in people is going to elicit a respect. I think that's essential to being a capable empowerer in their life. And then finally, I think you need commitment. This may tie into what I said initially, but it's how dedicated are you to the process? I mean, if you're content to just a status quo with your team's output right now or your church's output right now, then you probably don't need to listen to any more of this podcast, but you need commitment. You want to be dedicated to the process of upping the game and helping other people reach their potential. So we're really talking about, as an empower, you're becoming a catalyst for improvement in their life. But that takes a tremendous amount of dedication. So you may want to think, if there's anything causing you to hesitate, if there's anything causing you to shrink back from taking on the role of being a more hands-on person of empowering others, I think you want to come to terms with that, because it's not something you want to jump into willy-nilly. Some questions you might want to ask yourself is, number one, do I value people in my organization and see them as the most important asset? If you think your time is the most important asset, if you think the resources of your organization, your capital, are the most important asset, then don't bother trying to empower other people, because your focus is not where it needs to be. You need to understand that your people, if you understand that your people are the asset of your organization, then if you answer that in the affirmative, then you're ready to start thinking about a relationship with them that's built on improvement and empowerment. Secondly, do you want to ask yourself, do I believe that empowering others leads to greater success than individual achievement? One of the greatest factors for harnessing your team is looking at ways to help develop them as leaders and develop their potential. So if you firmly believe in that, then you're ready to get started. Thirdly, are you actively seeking out potential leaders to mentor and lift? And you know, one of the challenges, I think, as a leader is looking at yourself as not not in the sights of other people that are wanting your job, but actually elevating people so that one day they're capable of taking your job. That's a growth mindset shift that we'll talk about in shortly, but that's certainly a question to ask. And also, am I excited about the idea of helping others reach their level of leadership beyond my own? Am I willing to invest time and energy in developing people with leadership potential? Am I happy to let other people take the credit for the things that I'm teaching them? Do I give others freedom to express their unique personalities and approaches, or do I feel the need to control everything? Am I willing to publicly support and share my authority with future leaders? And then finally, am I open to the idea of allowing others to take over my role and responsibilities, knowing that it's for the greater good? You know, that's that passing the baton of leadership to those that we empower. And again, genuinely cheering them on, being in it for their success. So Charles, those are just a few thoughts. But how can we as leaders not only inspire, but actively empower others to reach their potential? Maybe we can talk about that process.
Sure. We want to help empower others to their potential. And so a few steps that we can use to guide us as we empower others would be, first of all, we need to evaluate them. There needs to be some type of evaluation. We've got to answer the question, what are they capable of? What are they capable of? And so we can look at these areas when we are evaluating. Number one, knowledge. All right. What do they need to know? What do they need to know? What's the knowledge they need to know? Secondly, is skill. Do they have the ability to fulfill the job requirement? As we're evaluating, we need to take inventory of their skills. Is there ability there that will allow them to fulfill the job requirement? And third is desire. It doesn't matter how much knowledge or how great of a skill set an individual has. If they have no desire to do it, listen, success is out of their reach. Success is not in the realm of possibility. So what kind of desire? What's the level of desire there as we're looking to empower people? Again, the first step we want to take is to evaluate, and that includes knowledge, skill, and desire. So we want to look at kind of a three-pronged approach in our evaluation. The second step, as we move from evaluation, we want to begin to model for them. We want to model for those that we're desiring to empower. Listen, it's just a fact of life, and it's a fact of leadership. People want to know what you expect. As the leader, those that we're empowering, they want to know what it is we expect. And so we have to model for them. It's one thing to teach it, but being able to model our expectations is so much more powerful. If you expect people to be on time, then maybe I'm just going out on a limb here. Maybe as the leader, I should be punctual. Maybe I should be on time. And so whatever the expectations are, yes, you need to have that as an informational piece, but you need to also be able to model and demonstrate your expectations. You need to be, and I need to be, living out those and meeting those expectations while I'm teaching and kind of casting the vision for what we expect and what we desire to see in this process of empowerment. So evaluation, and then we want for those that we're empowering what our expectations are. A third step in this pathway of empowerment would be give them permission to succeed. Give them permission to succeed. It's critically important. And here's how we can do that. So again, number one is we expect it. What do we expect? Cast the vision with encouragement. All right. So we're giving people permission to succeed by casting the vision of expectation, and we're positive. We're being encouraging in that vision casting process. So expect it. Secondly, verbalize it. We want to repeatedly tell them what is expected. So verbalize it. And I would even say in our repeated communication, try to be creative. What are some creative ways that we can communicate this? Because you're going to get sick and I'm going to get sick and tired of saying the same things, but people need to hear. There's something in the power of repetition. So creatively communicate what is expected as we verbalize it. And then third, reinforce it. We want to reinforce our expectation, how we verbalize that, and now we're going to reinforce it. And the way we can do that is to offer recognition for a job well done. So kind of an element of feedback, if you will, there as people are meeting the expectation, as they are rising to the occasion and doing what we've been verbalizing, we want to reinforce that with recognition for a job well done. Being positive in our empowering leadership and celebrating with people, celebrating their victories in this process of being empowered goes a long way. It goes a long way in multiplying our leadership and our influence. So again, giving people permission to exceed in that, again, another three-pronged approach. We want to expect it. We want to verbalize it. And then we want to reinforce it. So, Bruce, any thoughts or any additional items you would add as we're talking about how we're empowering people?
Yeah, and just, you know, Charles, to touch on just what you shared, I think those are three critical points and very good insight. By casting vision and verbalizing it, I think it's so important to be clear and specific on what you're looking in terms of what does the success look like. And when people know what you have not only cast vision for, but the steps to execute that in a good manner, I think when you reinforce it, you already elevated the value up of how important these things are. And so it really keeps a cohesive sense of what you're looking for in the output. And so I think that's really, really important. As far as what I would add, I'd say, there's going to come a moment in empowering others that you have to transfer authority. Authority is not by position. Authority is given when you've genuinely empowered someone, you give them the challenges that you know that they can meet so they can experience some success. A few years ago, I made a decision in terms of the preaching ministry of our church that I was going to share the pulpit with one of my associates. And I think he has a tremendous, he's not on staff now, he's moved on, but had a tremendous gift for teaching. And so I'm pretty guarded in our pulpit. There's a certain standard that I want. And I think that was a little intimidating for him in the beginning. But, because I had taken the time to work with him on sermon ideas and to talk to him about expectations and had cast some vision for him, I think when the time came and I gave him the reins for that Sunday morning, he really began to take that. And you just saw the growth in him as a communicator. And so when you begin to give people the opportunity, then you're giving them a sense of authority, and you're not hovering. You're putting them out there after the input and the training and the investment and ready to watch them succeed. So that's going to become a critical moment when you start transferring authority. Number two, uh, or not just number two in our list, but obviously in addition, publicly show your confidence in them. Acknowledge their strengths in front of other people and be consistent about it. People know when you're being disingenuous, so always come with genuine, heartfelt appreciation publicly, because they're not only going to pick up on it, but for example, when your congregation knows that you're trying to overcompensate for a poor performance, they pick up on that. So make sure that your confidence is shown in a genuine fashion. Supply them with feedback. You know, it's one thing to acknowledge their success publicly, but always on the level of relationship, use that private time to supply them with feedback. You don't know your impact until you get some feedback. Well, the same is true for them. They need to see the impact. And some things you talked about earlier, Charles, the not only verbalizing the expectation, but reinforcing that by bringing some feedback. And then release them. Help them to learn to take the initiative on their own and feel free and have the authority to do that. Allow them room to succeed. And I think you'll find that you're going through the process of empowering people in a way that is productive, it's measurable, and they can proceed with a sense of confidence, not only of themselves, but they're going to sense that you have confidence in them. And that's vital, I think, to genuinely empowering people. Charles, these are some powerful results when it comes to empowering people. But let's talk about some of the benefits. What are some of those benefits of empowering other people?
Well, you know, we're all about the benefits, and part of leadership is getting results. And so when it comes down to it, empowering leaders is sometimes the only real advantage that one organization has over another. And so, you know, if you're looking for, for lack of a better term, kind of that competitive advantage or that distinctive advantage, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say it's probably going to be found as you and as I, as leaders, as we begin to empower other leaders, that's going to heighten the advantage that we have. And maybe another word I should use instead of advantage would be our effectiveness. It's going to increase our effectiveness, the effectiveness of our leadership. Again, over the team, over the family, over the organization, of the church, wherever it is that we're leading, whatever context we find ourselves leading in, if we are empowering leaders, it gives us a great advantage. It's kind of like the rocket fuel, that kind of like the nitro boost, you know. Empowering leaders just fuels and it takes the organization to greater heights than we could ever achieve apart from empowering leadership. So as we begin the process of empowering others, two things are going to happen. Number one, your life is going to change. Your life is going to change as you begin to empower others. The second thing that's going to happen is their life is going to change as you begin to empower them. Your life is going—it's going to change for the better. I'm not saying that there won't be pitfalls or stumbling blocks along the way, but as you look over your leadership life, I believe as you step into this process of empowering leadership, I think that the trajectory you're going to see is one of an upward trajectory. And I think that the same will be true in those you are empowering. I think the trajectory of their life is going to increase as well. And so it's a powerful end result of empowered leadership and empowering leadership. Your life's going to change and their life is going to change. I think the third thing that I just want to mention as a benefit or as a result of empowering others, your relationships and your communications will grow and improve. You just watch the quality of your relationships, the strength of your relational connections that you have are going to grow. The quality and the effectiveness of your communication is going to improve greatly as you and as we begin to empower others. Bruce, any other benefits that you may can think of, or as we're talking about Charles, empowering?
You know, my thought was, you know, because you know, churches, we're not competitive organizations, or we're not called to be competitive with one another. We have a common mission. But I just want to say, and I want to say this with as much humility and sobriety as I can. Pastor, if you do this, if you will build a culture of empowering others in your ministry and in your church, you're just going to be doing something that very few churches in your area are doing. I'm not saying you're out to compete with them and be better than them. Please don't misunderstand me. Yeah. But there's a sore lack of empowering others in the local church. Pastors are doing the work, and I got to tell you, we are insufficient to do the work. We are called to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And if all the ministry is tied up in you, then you have severely limited what the impact that your church can have. And, you know, Charles, I'm going to go even further. I'm going to say, I know very gifted leaders, very capable leaders, very strong leaders that haven't taken the necessary steps to build a culture of empowerment in their church. And you're going to find in their very same community, they're going to find there are other churches with not as capable leaders, but have done a better job of equipping people. And there's going to be a difference in the health of those two churches. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's a tough pill to swallow for a pastor. And so taking that on with a sense of humility and recognition that the calling of Jesus on your life is actually to do what we've been talking about today. And I think once you come to that realization and you're ready to repent and turn and start, you know, into those kind of behaviors as a leader, you're going to be better for it.
Absolutely. And so short of giving the altar call this morning, Bruce, you've brought us to a place of repentance. Brought me to a place of repentance, and so, yeah. You know, I've got both hands raised in that regard. So leaders, man, listen to what Dr. Bruce is telling us today, because, really, I'm serious. Take heed. To the wisdom that Bruce is sharing moments. It's not that we're not competing against other churches, but we are to be good stewards. And we don't use that word steward, so we're to be good managers. We're to be good managers of the calling, of the gifts, of the responsibilities Christ has given to us as leaders in His church. And we've got to take the lid. We have to take the lid off of our churches. And the way to do that is to empower the people. Amen. Is to empower the people that Christ has entrusted us with to build His church, to advance His kingdom. And empowering leadership does that. So, well, aside from getting on my soapbox, I don't want to step on what Bruce has eloquently placed before. So I will say this. Thank you so much for joining us today here on the Five Gifts podcast. Please remember to like, to follow, to subscribe, to share, Do everything you can to help spread the word, increase the influence of, we want to empower you to help increase the influence of what we're doing and what God's allowing us to do through the Five Gifts podcast. Remember, our website, you can go to fivegifts.org and see all the wonderful things that God is doing through this ministry. You can reach out to Bruce at coachingcardia.com. And Bruce is a phenomenal spiritual life director, spiritual life coach, and he will lead you through a process of empowering leadership coaching that will be transformative for you, for your organization. You can reach me at charlesrussellministries.com if you have issues that are church-related or ministry-related, charlesrusselltraining.com, and we would be glad to serve your organization as well in that regard. So reach out to us. We'd be glad to be a source of or a catalyst to change for you or for the teams that you lead. Well, I think the fasten your seatbelt lights coming on. We must be getting close to Africa. So it's almost time to land. We've got to go. We'll see you next week right here on the Five Gifts podcast.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments to give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.